Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, All History 2, Eleanor Bloom with Marion Levant, interviewing Sophie Masloff, Thursday, May 28, 1987. Sophie, I'd like to start. May I call you Sophie?
Please do. Please do.
I'd like to start with your immediate family. Tell us about your father and your mother. Where did they come from? Were they born in this country? Were they come
from? Both of my parents were born in Romania. They were both immigrants. My mother came here with one child. And shortly after she came here, as a matter of fact, when I was about 3 or 4 years old, my father died. My mother lived in the Hill District and worked and raised 4 children all by herself. Never learned to read or write or speak English till the day she died. We spoke Jewish to her all of our life. To this day, I still speak Jewish.
Is your mother still living?
No, her mother was dead, now, I guess, about 10 years.
And what was her name?
Her name is Jenny, and I made
Jenny what?
Friedman, F-R-I-E-D-M-A-N. And that was my father's name, who died when I was very, very young. I never knew him.
Oh.
It was just an infant when he died.
Oh, what was his name?
His name was Lewis Friedman.
Excuse me 1 minute. How do we stop this? Sophie, where did you live in the Hill District?
On Robert Street. And house number was 319. It was across the street from Pazavan Hospital. I was born there and lived there until I was married. And then my mother sold the house and the whole family moved to Squirrel Hill.
Did you have brothers or sisters?
There were 4 of us.
Oh, 4.
3 girls and 1 brother. And my brother and 1 sister have passed away. But my sister and I are still living. I have 1 living sister in Pittsburgh.
And can you tell us about your home, what the atmosphere was?
Well, it was typical of an Orthodox Jewish family. My mother was steeped in tradition, steeped in superstition, and extremely devout. And we grew up in a strictly kosher home where my mother ruled with an iron hand. And she worked herself, but took good care of us, and we had proper values in spite of all that. I went to grade school, and then I went to Fifth Avenue High School. And when I graduated from high school in the late 30s, my mother then was sick and unable to work. And while I had a scholarship to Pitt, I couldn't accept it because then I went to work because we needed some income. And I have been working from that day to this without 1 single day out. I've worked every single day for the last close to 50 years.
That is wonderful. What did your mother do when she reared your children?
She worked in a tobacco factory.
Where?
She worked in a tobacco factory in the old Stogies all of her life, a piecework, day and night. Whenever she had some time, she'd go over and do that.
Wonderful.
And that's where she worked all of her life.
And your friends, your school days, and the friends that you went to school with, have you ever seen them or been in touch with them?
Oh, yes. We have had reunions. And every now and then I meet somebody on the street that I haven't seen for years since I went to school. Many, many I see very often because I've never lived anywhere else.
I guess the discipline was different in those days.
Oh, no question about it. It was. I often wonder how she was able to control us the way she did, with strict discipline. I could never do it with my children. I don't know how she could do it with hers. She did it with hers, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But she was really the old school, and she came from Romania where they feared for their life all the time. And she had that instilled in her, and there was just no question about it. You did the right thing.
Did she speak another language besides Yiddish?
She spoke
Romanian. Did you know that, too?
No. Although we had landslides come visit us and spoke Romanian, but I never picked that up. We spoke Yiddish to her all the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about your adolescent years? That was probably depression years.
Extremely so.
What did you do for fun or recreation in those days?
Not much. We had a lot of responsibility at home, plus the fact that I always had a job somewhere, somewhat, doing something. And while I was growing up, while I was in high school, I joined many clubs in high school, the debating club, the leaders club, and I did those things. But generally speaking, there wasn't too much time. I loved to read, and I still do, and that was really the only thing I did for recreation.
And can you tell us how you met your husband and about your marriage?
That's a funny thing. I used to pass his house to go to high school. He lived on Dunwoody Street, if you're familiar with the area, are you?
No.
I used to go past his house every day to go to high school. And then we started to talk, and we became just drifted into. And it's turned out very well.
How many years are you married now?
Over 40.
40 years. Where were you married?
In Pittsburgh.
At a synagogue, or?
Yes, at a synagogue, of course. Mm-hmm. But a very quiet, no big wedding. Just for a small reception.
You remember the rabbi who married you?
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I really don't.
Mm-hmm. And where did you live after you married?
Well, we first went to live on Flemington Street. And then the war came along, and my husband went off to war. When he came back, we bought a house on Beachwood Boulevard and lived there until last year. Lived in the same house for 40 years.
And you had one child?
One daughter.
And what is her name?
Her name is Linda Busia, B-U-S-I-A.
And her children, grandchildren?
She has two children, Jennifer and Michael.
And what are their ages?
Jennifer is 10 and Michael is 5.
Can you tell us during the time when you were first married, what your vacation, did you have vacations or did you have a social life? Did you do anything particular that you enjoy?
For all of my life, from the time I got out of high school, I was involved in politics. One way or another, I held practically every political office locally.
How did you start?
Out of necessity. I got out of high school and I needed a job and I wanted a decent job. And the jobs then were horrible. And so I got interested in a man by the name of John Cain, who was running for county commissioner. And I worked on a volunteer basis with him.
In the Democratic Party, yes.
When he was elected, he then took me into the commissioner's office to work with him. And that's where I started. And I worked in the commissioner's office with him for maybe 10 or 15 years. And then I went to Common Police Court as an aide in the assignment room where all the cases originate. And I was there for over 30 years in the Court of Common Pleas. And it was fascinating. But on the side, all of my interests were always in politics, always. I held every conceivable political office that you could think of. I've been a delegate to almost every national convention. I was the first Jewish president of the Pennsylvania Federation of Democratic Women. It's an organization made up of a conglomerate of Democratic clubs. And they're all associated with the state organization. There may be 250 clubs. And never in the history of the club, which was then 50 or 60 years old, did they have a Jewish president. And I was the first.
Did you have to politic for that
position? Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And I was president then for two terms of the Pennsylvania Federation of Democratic Women. And I was a committee woman in my district. I am a member of the Pennsylvania State Committee. I'm secretary of the Democratic Women's Guild of Allegheny County. And practically every campaign that's come down the pike, I have been involved in this past election, I was co-chairman of the primary committee. And almost every election, I hold some post, I've done something. But my interests always were with Jews and Jewish interests. I've always been a member of the board of the Anti-Defamation League. I've always been a member of the B'nai B'rith, the Hadassah. We went to B'nai Amon. I was a member of the women's club. I was a member of the civic committee of the UJF, Community Development Committee. I've always been. I went to Israel. I remember the Soviet Committee for Soviet Jewry. I went to Russia 2 years ago on behalf of Soviet Jews. And my interest
was in the dissidents when
yes,
you went there.
Yes.
When we visited.
It wasn't easy, and it was just heartbreaking. Just heartbreaking.
And did you carry materials
yeah.
with you? Were you able to get them in?
We were lucky. We had in my suitcase. I had a lot of things that would have been suspect, but our suitcases, mine and June Sherman, who went with me, were lost. And so when we were checking out, Mueller checking everybody's suitcases in front of us, we had no suitcase, so they then stamped our passport. When our suitcases came in, they assumed that they had been checked 2 days later, so that will never happen again. I suppose.
Was that in Moscow and Leningrad?
In Moscow. We went to Moscow and we went to Kiev and we went to Leningrad.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there
for 2 weeks. Did you see dissidents in all
yes.
the places?
As a matter of fact, one of the dissidents that we visited is going to be in Pittsburgh this week. She's coming on Friday. Sonia Melnikov.
She got out?
Yes, she finally got out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my money on her getting out because she was a fighter. But she was a nice girl. And I went to Israel with a group of congressmen on a fact-finding committee. And I've always volunteered for anything. I'm on every telethon. I volunteer for everything Jewish that there was, because that's of course is my first love. So between the two, between the politics and my Jewish interests, I'm pretty busy.
And yes, I can see you certainly are. Do you feel that when you raised your children or your daughter, was it different than when you were raised by in your family? You mentioned before that it was different.
There's no question about it. I could never exert the control over my daughter that my mother did over us. How she accomplished it is actually a miracle. But my daughter grew up, and she was a nice kid. She was a good kid, and she grew up well, as far as I can see.
Now, how do you feel about your accomplishments, your successes, and your failures?
Well, I don't know how to answer that. My successes came about, I believe, because I always went into everything with all my heart and soul. I never did anything halfway. I gave it all I had. I had failures, of course. I didn't always get what I wanted. But I had my successes far outnumber my failures.
When you first ran for council, what year was that?
It was in 1976. And I was the first Jewish woman ever elected to Pittsburgh City Council. First Jewish woman. They had two women before me. But when I was elected, I was the first Jewish woman ever elected to council. And I was determined that I was going to make it no matter what. Now I may be the first Jewish president of council.
That would be wonderful.
It's a possibility at the moment.
I'm going to ask you about this new election with the districts. How do you feel about that?
It would be a total disaster. It will not be good for the city. I think it'll be very difficult to get anything accomplished. It'll be a year and a half or so before it's all in place. But I don't think it's going to be an improvement for the city.
Do you think that will ever be reversed?
Well, it'll be up to people again. People, if they find it isn't working, they can. They reversed it in San Francisco and they reversed it in Cleveland. Both
well,
cities.
How will that affect you if in the districts?
Well, my problem was I lived in Squirrel Hill for 40 years and my husband had a heart attack. We had to sell our house and move into an apartment. So I moved into the Third Ward, to be downtown, which is a black area. And so I will probably move back to Squirrel Hill. Didn't move for 40 years, and now I'm moving twice in 2 years. And I will probably, because that's where my constituency is, and that's where my heart is, and I'll probably move back in the next year or so and run again.
I imagine other people will have to do that.
Yes, several will.
How do you feel about Pittsburgh today, socially or culturally, politically, today than it was back in your youth or during your adolescence up to now?
There's been a lot of improvement. There's just no question about it. There's no question that the air is cleaner. I think now the mills have gone, and I think we're diversifying beautifully. And I think Pittsburgh will always be, and it will always be the hub. It's not what it was, obviously. Nothing is the same. But I think Pittsburgh's come along, and I think we'll always do well.
Do you feel that, politically, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think the whole political situation's changing. It's changing every day. We don't have the leadership that we had in my early days when Dave Lawrence was here and John Cain was here. And I believe there'll be big change. I think that when you look at the political leaders today, none of them are very young. And I suspect that most of them will be replaced in the next couple of years. I think there'll be a radical change politically. Whether or not the Republicans will ever have a shot is another thing. But I think the Democratic Party is changing.
In what way? How do you feel that it's changing?
Well, as I said, the leaders, the people that are leaders today are now up in years. And I think there'll be a lot of young people come into the party, and there'll be a lot of change, and I will be one of the ones that will be stepping out.
Do you feel that way also then about city council?
Yes, I think there'll be a lot of changes in city council, and I think that by district council will be less manageable.
How do you find working with the city council? Is it difficult with the personalities involved, or do you have to stick to your guns?
Well, you see, everybody has their own style. My style is much different than my colleagues. My style is to sit back and listen and only speak when I have something to say. I go to council meetings prepared before I get there. The council meetings are on television, and I don't play to the cameras, and I don't show.
What channel is that? Is that on
17 cable.
Oh, 17
cable.
And when do you meet?
We meet every Monday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and every Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning. And in between, we have hearings almost every day on some zoning matter, or anybody that has any matter that they want to bring before council can ask for a public hearing.
How do they do that?
If you get a petition with 25 names and submit it to council, you are afforded a hearing on any matter.
And how do they let people know about that?
Well, if the people that are requesting the hearing let the people that are interested know. It's up to them to get the people there if they're interested. I mean, if you're requesting a hearing on a matter, it would be up to the 25 people who signed that petition to come themselves and bring whoever else is interested in the particular issue that they are requesting a hearing on.
And that's usually you're quite busy with.
It's just, and then we each have committees. My committee is Parks and Recreation, and of course cable. We never had cable in Pittsburgh until I came here.
I know that you fought for that.
Yeah, because I thought Pittsburgh needed it. And at that time, Pete Flaherty was violently against it. So I fought it tooth and nail. I thought we should have it, and it's turned out well. It's not anything that costs the taxpayers anything. It isn't coming out of anybody's pocket. They don't want it, they don't buy it. That's all.
I know that you were for it for many years.
Yeah. It took me almost 4 or 5 years to get it off the...
How did you do that?
When I first decided that it was something we should have because other cities had it, I set up a committee of citizens, of people in Pittsburgh who were interested, who guided me from all walks of life. And then we drew proposals, and in the meantime, Pete Flaherty left, and Ed Caligiuri came in, and he was much more receptive to the whole idea. And we drew proposals. We said what we would like to have in the cable system for the city, and we really had the best system in the whole country. People maybe don't realize that.
No,
as a matter of fact, it was so good that Warner Cable, who originally bid, went bankrupt because they could not afford to give us what we demanded of them. They in their contract, they gave the city so much and such a terrific system, it's the best in the whole country. And at the time, Pittsburgh was the first major city to have cable because all of the, have one company, because all of the other cities, all of the other major cities had two or three companies, and they were always at odds with each other. They divided their city up. So Pittsburgh was really unique. It was the first. Warner has since gone out of business and sold the business, but we still have the best system in the country, and anybody that knows anything about cable will vouch to that.
I know. How did you get that to finally pass? I know you worked so hard on it.
Oh, it was my child. I just fought. Well, I worked diligently at it. I went to other cities. I looked at their systems. I had people come in and tell me what they thought we should have in a cable system. People who were knowledgeable. And then I began day to day writing down what I thought we should have, what I thought they should give us in a system, and what it should cost the consumer. And then I had a law department draw up a proposal. And then we submitted that for bid. And the company that I thought would give us the most was the company that I finally chose, and it was Warner Cable at the time, and we had the best system in the country. But it took a lot of time, a lot of effort. It was something that I was really interested in. I really loved it.
I know that, and we're really very thankful for you, because I think we all enjoy cable.
Well, it was so important to me, because of the topography of Pittsburgh, hardly anybody got a decent picture. If you got two channels, you didn't get the third. And that's why I thought this is something that everybody should have if they want. If you don't want it, you don't buy it. It was a choice. It was nothing that cost the taxpayers anything. So I really worked at that for many, many years, and I'm still working at it. It's still my child, and I still watch it, and people who have problems call me, and I immediately iron them out because I know all about it. I think I'm an expert on it.
Do you get the comments, the favorable comments from people about the...
Some like it, some complain bitterly, some people are unhappy because they don't know why they don't want it, and then they buy it, and then they have problems with the cable company, and then they don't think they're getting proper service, that type of thing.
So the complaints come to you?
Many do, yes, and I'm glad to feel them. I know the answers.
Well, I think that's interesting when people have problems to call you.
Well, I'm glad they do, because as I said, I know the answers and I can field them to the proper place or get it straightened out.
Did the council then, how do they feel about it?
Well, they of course, at the time, there was some discussion and they voted for it, but they all feel their problems to me too, their cable problems, because I feel that I know a lot about it. But in addition to that, my committee on council, we each have a committee. My committee on council is Parks and Recreation. And that overlooks all the workings of the Parks Department, the swimming pools, the parks, the senior citizen centers, the recreation, the fireworks, everything goes on in the city. That comes under my committee. In addition to that, I am on the Stadium Authority. I'm Secretary of the Stadium Authority, which is the city has authorities, you know, Water Authority, Parking Authority, Stadium Authority. I'm Secretary of the Stadium Authority. I'm a member of the Board of Directors of the Buell Science Center. And I'm a board member of the Allegheny County Mental Health and Retardation Board. All of these things I'm interested in, and I can help where I can. And as I said, in addition, my Jewish organizations come first. The Community Division of the UJF, the Anti-Defamation League, the Soviet Jewry, the B'nai B'rith, the Hadassah. They're all very, very close to me. Plus, all of the Jewish organizations in Pittsburgh, if they have any problems, Montefiore Hospital, the UJF, any of them who have any problems with the city, they get priority.
I see, and they call you. Do you ever go out to speak to any of the organizations?
Oh, yes, many times. I'm really not a good public speaker, frankly. And so I prefer, if I'm invited, I prefer to go and make it a question and answer session. I prefer to have the people ask questions about the city and about the government or anything that they're interested in that has to do with these various jobs that I do, politics. But as a stand-up speaker, I really don't consider myself a good public speaker.
Well, it's a good way that you do it with the questions and answers.
Sure. But I never turn anybody down.
I think it's going to be finished.
Is that over? Sophie, I don't like to ask you that personal question. Are you involved in a synagogue or synagogue life?
Not too much. I'm a member of the sisterhood. My daughter, B'nai Amona.
Oh, B'nai Amona.
Because I lived right around the corner.
That's
and my
Orthodox.
Orthodox. As I said, my parents were extremely Orthodox, steeped in tradition all of those years. They came here from the old country where they didn't know anything else. And I still keep a kosher house. Did you believe that?
I think that's wonderful. And your daughter, you said?
No.
No.
And the reason I do is when I was first married, my mother wouldn't meet at my house unless it was kosher. And so I started out that way and I just stayed.
And you started to say something about your daughter. She's not interested in Jewish life?
Not too much. She lives in the suburbs. They're not handy to a synagogue. And not too much, although she knows all of the Jewish holidays and every Purim I make Klementashim and every Hanukkah I make Tadalakis. And she knows, she of course is familiar with all of this, but she doesn't do the things I did, and her children will never know the things that she knew.
That's what I was going to ask you about your grandchildren.
Well, they know. They know when they come to my house that they can't have milk if they have a hamburger. They know that. And they know all of these things. They know the times of the year, the things that I'm going to have for them. Up until the time we moved into an apartment, I had big dinners for everything. And they knew that the Pesach that we had, and they knew that we had at Yom Kippur, and they knew that we had all of these holidays. And they still know it. But whether or not they'll observe it is another thing.
Sophie, I wanted to go back to your political life. Did you know people on the national scene?
Yes. I knew practically every. I've been to the White House many, many times.
Isn't that wonderful?
And whenever there was a Democratic president, we were invited. The Democratic women in the country were invited there, and I had been to the White House under. I was starting with Roosevelt. I was there under Roosevelt. I was there under Truman. I was there several times under Kennedy. I've been there under. I was there under Carter. I have a picture of myself with Carter. I've been there many, many times for social events, and I've met the first ladies practically, all of the Democratic ones. And I entertained Mrs. Truman when she came to Pittsburgh many years ago.
How was that? What did you do for her?
Well, I met her at the station. They came on a train, she and her daughter Margaret, and me and Mrs. Kane, the senior Mrs. Kane. And we met her, and we took her on a tour of the city, and we took her to lunch. We had arranged lunch for her. And I remember when Jack Kennedy was running, his sisters came to Pittsburgh to campaign for him, and we entertained them, all the sisters. Of course, they wouldn't know me if they saw me today, but we entertained them all, and I've met them all. And of course, I've known all of the Democratic governors of Pennsylvania. I've been to the mansion in Harrisburg all the time.
Isn't that wonderful to know all these people?
Well, you know, I don't want to give you the impression that I know them that well.
No, I understand.
Because if they saw me
that
today, none of them would know me. But I've been there, and I've met them all. I've seen them all, met them all. Because I started out as a kid, and I was always interested in politics.
When did you first start? Right after, during high school?
right after, when, as I said, when I got out of high school, I needed a job. And I did volunteer work for the Democratic Organization. And at that time, the city of Pittsburgh was Republican. But I did volunteer work for the Democratic Organization, where I met Mr. Lawrence and Mr. King. And when things started to change, I had my choice of jobs.
Do you feel that in the political life of Pittsburgh, do you feel that the Democrats have such a stronghold that they will continue? Of course, you can't predict the future, what will be. But how do you feel about it?
Well, with the registration today, what it is, Democratic registration, there's no way that a Republican can get elected in Pittsburgh. There would have to be a big, big turnover. Whether or not that will ever happen is another thing.
But are you...
Could happen, but it's unlikely. Not in the foreseeable future.
That's so interesting. That should be running out.
It makes a very large noise. It, I think it's just about finished. I hate to start something new. Do you want me to just...
Well, it should be. Let's stop it for a minute.
Well, I went to Russia under the sponsorship of the Committee for Soviet Jewry, and we went in a group of six. And we had, before we went, we had names and addresses and phone numbers of the refuseniks. And the purpose, of course, was to help them, to visit them. While there wasn't anything we could do immediately for them, it gave them some hope that the rest of the world would have not forgotten them the way they did in Germany, the way the German Jews were completely forgotten by the rest of the world. Everybody sat back and let it happen. And so they were given some hope when we visited them that they